This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Flunkies and junkies, welcome to this week's episode of the NWA Saturday Special. I'm your co-host, Potfather Scott Criscolo, the purveyor of this thou you are listening, the PTB Wrestling Network, along with my co-host, the real doctor, the National Wrestling Alliance, Dr. G, George Blaine.
There's some imposter out there calling himself doctor.
We'll talk about it during the show, but this podcast, I mean, I've listened to it. These guys are okay, but they're just total milquetoast sugar baby faces.
So do we really have to have a match for the Dr. G title on at the GPB studios? Because let me tell you something, I'm not going to lose. I'll tell you
the winner of the match becomes. I know, we'll just fucking cheat. We'll start choking Joe Galli with his tie like Daniel Bryan did to Justin Roberts when the Nexus ripped up the set. You know, we'll just super kick all these, and then the winner of the match becomes the true official podcast of the NWA. And we'll be like heel Jim Ross. We'll wear our Strictly Business track jackets. We'll only talk the heels. We'll only talk about the heels. We'll bash the baby faces. Oh, it'll be fantastic. It'd be like if Jesse and Bobby Heenan did a podcast together. You know, it'd be fantastic. Oh, anyway,
that'd be beautiful.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a lot to talk about this week. Not only do we will recap this past week episode of Power Surge, which means it was a short show this week, only 30 minutes, a lot of interviews, but we did have one match that I actually liked a lot. The one match they did this week I thought was very good. And a couple of news notes. One was something, Dr. G, you found around the Twittersville. And then another news story about the new person kind of running things in the women's division in the NWA. In fact, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the two news bits first.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's do it. The first thing I want to talk about is you brought up to one of our chats in the Chattersville a picture of a logo that said Championship Wrestling from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the font of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, Championship Wrestling from Phoenix, Championship Wrestling from Memphis. Of course, those are the little promotions, the little territories that Dave Marquez runs. So eventually we're going to figure this out or find out the skinny. Something happened and there was a major falling out clearly between Billy and Dave Marquez. Yeah,
I can't figure out what it is. What happened?
I mean, I don't know either. Obviously, something went down involving that deal between the NWA and the United Wrestling Network, UWN. They did the primetime live show. And we had said, and we bought those, Dr. G, we bought all 12 episodes. Notice that show hasn't come back, by the way. Notice the show, that should, UWN primetime live has not returned. Notice.
Yeah, well, as we found out, maybe those numbers weren't doing good, but we know the Fight TV numbers for NWA is doing well. So.
And maybe Dave Marquez just realized that his roster is not that great. I mean, think about it. The only guy, and he's got a I don't know if it's CZW or it's MLW. He's got that belt. But the only guy that we really saw out of that crew that really was a shining star was Hammerstone. And he's obviously still over there on the West Coast. NWA did, however, take a couple of guys with them. They took, of course, my man Slice Boogie and they took Jordan Clearwater, who we've seen in a few matches. But something happened during this business deal between Dave and the Billy. I don't know what, but like Dave Marquez is showing screenshots of Nick Aldis blocking him on Twitter and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And now he thinks he's going to open up shop in Atlanta. What Dave Marquez doesn't understand is the National Wrestling Alliance is a national territory. It's a national product. This isn't like the 80s where Dave Marquez is going to horn in on Jim Barnett's Georgia territory. Okay, that's not how this works. So be my guest, Dave. Have a show, shoot a show in Atlanta. Nobody fucking cares. Nobody cares. What do you think?
I don't know. It's strange. When originally he tweeted out that he was not returning to Power, he wished the management well. You know, there was no bitterness. But there's something with him and Nick Aldis. So I really don't know
what the
issue
either.
Is. I mean, you try to look online to see if there's anything. I can't find anything except for the fact that he wished them well back in March. May have to do a little bit more digging on this, but yeah, it's just strange. I mean, obviously, something went south and he's trying to throw his digs in wherever he can. And I know he was always a big NWA supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of sad because honestly, he obviously had a lot of love for the NWA. We don't know the whole story. So I don't want to sit here and totally rip Dave Marquez because I don't know what the issue was. But, all right, you know, now you want to start your own little company. Now, again, NWA is recording in Atlanta. It doesn't mean they're necessarily an Atlanta-based organization. So I don't think it's going to hurt the NWA in any way.
No, it's not. It's a national organization that just happens to shoot in Atlanta. This isn't like Jim Barnett's territory in the 70s and 80s where Dave Marquez is going to try to take talent. The NWA guys are not going to go to Dave Marquez's, you know, fucking network of stiffs. Okay? They are lock stocked in that, you know, unit.
On April 17th, 411 Mania reported in a post on Twitter, United Wrestling Network owner Dave Marquez reveals that, of course, the page just changed here, that he has been blocked by NWA World Champion Nick Aldis on social media service. Marquez used to work with the NWA, but recently announced that he wasn't invited back when the company made its return earlier this year. He had previously worked as a ring announcer interview with the NWA back in when it came back in October of 2019,
mm-hmm.
with a photo as evidence of a block, he wrote, "I'm glad I know where I stand. It's going to make what I'm about to do next easier." So that's what it is that he started. I'm assuming it's the thing he did next was starting the NWA Atlanta.
You mean Championship Wrestling from Atlanta?
Championship.
Yeah.
Not NWA.
No. NWA is Atlanta.
I have NWA on my mind.
Yeah. No, that's got to be it. But why? What precipitated this? Maybe we can get Nick Aldis on, or you Croc and Roll boys could get him on, or maybe we'll see him on Busted Open Radio, or and maybe something will come out. But something happened.
Listen, if somebody's going to get Nick Aldis on, it's going to be the Podfather.
I'll certainly try. I've reached out to Thunder Rosa as well. We'll talk about Thunder Rosa in a little bit because she had a substantial interview on this week's Power Surge. So we wanted to talk about that because Dave was an integral part of the NWA and when Power debuted back in the fall of 19. And he was an integral part of it. His interviewing skills weren't terrible. They were okay. And he did, you know, maybe throw a lifeline to the NWA in the fall with Primetime Live, but it was evident that he was out for his own self-interests because let's be honest, G, by like the fifth episode, we were barely getting any NWA guys. It was all of these fucking scrubs from his, and some of these guys were just not good. I mean, they weren't good. There were some guys that were pretty, that had some skills. I mean, we all love Hammerstone. And, you know, there are a couple other guys that weren't bad. Carl Fredericks, but he was pretty much, all the guys that were really good on that show were either NWA guys or guys that are working in the New Japan dojo, which NWA took, like Kratos and Slice Boogie and a couple other guys. So, like, the guys that Dave has are fucking stiffs. Maybe that one TV champion, what the fuck was his name? I don't remember his name. The guy that was the UWN TV champion. You know the guy I'm talking about. He had the orange. Yeah. He was orange typed. That guy. He wasn't bad, but yeah, I can't remember.
But yeah, I I'm not going to sit here and put down wrestlers because of Dave Marquette. You know, whatever. There's something that went on behind the scenes. Now Nick Aldis blocked them. There's got to be a reason that Nick Aldis blocked them. So it's something I think will eventually come out. But now we know what he said, you know, it makes what I'm about to do a lot easier. It's that he was starting championship wrestling from Atlanta, basically. Is that's what I'm getting from it anyway. And it's going to be interesting to see going forward if Billy ever responds to this, if there's anything else that comes out of this, or is it just everybody's just going to go about their business? And, you know, listen, NWA is doing well on Fight TV. They're better than they expected. So that's good news for us NWA fans.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
That's the way I look at it. You know what? Let's just worry about our own backyard. Let's see if we could bring in some guys. Let's, you know, the more money that comes in, the more infusion of talent that you can get.
So, you know. So yeah, so we'll see how this, we'll see how this works out and what happens with, and see what happens with, this, power struggle. Although I don't think there's anything that anybody really needs to be worried about. The other piece of news that, I wanted to bring up is, Jazz, who is of course, former WWE Women's Champion, former NWA Women's Champion, recently appeared on the Roundtable Pro Wrestling podcast to discuss her retirement tour through Impact and her new job. Beginning in June, she will be the agent for the women's division in the NWA. I think that is a fantastic get for Billy. Jazz is an experienced worker. She's tough. She'll toughen them up. She'll tighten up their promos. I think, Dr. G, this is nothing but good things for the NWA and for the women's division.
That's really, really, really a good get right there. Somebody with a lot of experience, somebody that's been at the top before and really brings that seasoning that the women's division and the NWA could use. And Thunder Rosa's crew coming in, adding that infusion of talent. I think the NWA women's division is going to be very strong by next year. I think by next year, at this time, you're going to see a whole new NWA women's division. That's going to be, it could even be better than Impact and AEW. Obviously, it's not going to be at the level of WWE. WWE has such a deep division, but if you could say you're second, that's saying something pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. And again, and as we see, as we'll talk about on tonight's recap of this past Tuesday's Power Surge,
I could see Jazz even being beneficial to Thunder Rosa. I mean, we know Thunder Rosa has experience and she trains wrestlers, but you know what? Jazz has been there for a long time, so she could Thunder Rosa could learn a little from Jazz as well.
I agree 100% because these women. Now, a decent amount of the women's division is very good in ring, and that includes Thunder Rosa, you know, the women that she's brought in from her promotion, and obviously Serena Deeb, our world women's champion, but I do think that she'll help kind of tighten their promo skills, and maybe she could kind of help Mae Valentine tighten up her interview skills because she's. Well, we'll talk about it now. Anyway, good news there for NWA in the women's division that Jazz will be starting there working for Billy backstage in June. All right, let's now get to the main event of this week's show. Main event. And that is, of course, this week's programming, NWA Power Surge, which is usually which is like the half hour. It's almost like the Cindy show. It's like the half hour show, some interview segments, a match. It's kind of like the bridge show between tapings. So, which means, Dr. G, that they'll probably be doing some fresh taping this weekend down at the GPB, and we'll have a fresh episode of Power this coming Tuesday. All right, so Power Surge dropped, of course, this past Tuesday. It was a little under half an hour, which is about the length of the Power Surge shows. Joe Galli, Mae Valentine were there. We also will see Velvet Sky, and I think we'll see Tim Storm, but I think that's part of kind of highlight clips of what's going on in the last couple weeks. But we begin. Mae Valentine and Joe Galli's first guest is the aforementioned doctor, as you mentioned her, former world women's champion Thunder Rosa. And they go back and forth, and they talk about Camille, and they talk about, you know, her being a trailblazer for the business, etc. Here's the thing, though. I get that we need to, you know, we want to pump up her resume and everything like that, but we got to get down to the storyline. And Mae Valentine needs to be taught how to do storyline interviews, not just these generic, you're a huge inspiration to us, you've done a lot for women in the business. This isn't Regis and Kathy Lee, okay? We got to talk about Camille. Got to talk about the storyline. Got to talk about Taryn Terrell. We got to get down to business.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a little...
This isn't some introductory show. It was too fluff-pieced. We got to talk about what's going on the show, in the territory right now. Can't... Oh, you're so great in this business. I mean, Jesus, Mae Valentine, do your fucking homework. I mean, come on. It was very frustrating. Having said that, Thunder Rosa did a very good job of covering. I mean, it wasn't a bad interview. Like, she wasn't stumbling over her words or anything. But we need to talk about the storyline. Camille, number one contender. At June 6th at the pay-per-view, Camille will likely get her shot at Serena Deeb in the World Women's title. Got to talk about that. No one cares about, oh, you're so great to the business. This isn't TNT, for Christ's sakes. I mean, come on, Mae. Get with the fucking program. Got to promote shit. That's what the point of the show is. Got to promote the product.
Yeah, I'm not really thrilled with the women announcers. I hate to say it. You know, I think having a women's voice on the program is awesome, but you got to get somebody that could do it well.
That's why I think when her, I'm telling you right now, when her no compete is up, Nick's going to bring his wife in. We will see Mickey James in the NWA, whether as an announcer or obviously as a worker or as part of Strictly Business, or maybe she'll be a babyface. I don't know, but we need some announcers with some charisma. And Mae is a beautiful woman, and she's very nice, and she has her high points, but for the most part, she obviously knows nothing about the business. Because we need to get down to the business. This is we're not starting this promotion up from scratch. We need to get down to business and get into the storyline. Talk. Eventually, they got to Camille, and eventually they got into Camille breaking up their tag match and everything when she had her Alex Gracia and Genocide and all them in that tag match. But
if you're recording this, Scott, you got to re-record that. I mean, that's just my opinion on that. I mean, I know you want to try to make it natural, but it just seemed everybody seemed uncomfortable, and it almost to a point where Thunder Rosa seemed uncomfortable. Like, okay, what the hell are you asking me? But yeah, I mean, I don't know if she was trying to act a little bit too, Thunder Rosa, because you know when she got a little agitated at the end of the interview.
I agree. And well, maybe that's something that Jazz can help with, kind of give some of these women a little, you know, a little saltiness to their personality. I get Mae Valentine's a baby face. I get that. But enough ass kissing. We need to get down to the business of the storyline. Camille, her being number one contender, robbing Thunder Rosa of that spot, busting in on the match, the whole Melina thing with Taryn Terrell. And we got to get in on that. We're not here to read Thunder Rosa's resume. We know what her resume is. She's fucking awesome. That's her resume. We get that. We got to talk about the storyline. We got to get.
It's that not shit. Like introducing her for the first time.
Exactly. Exactly. And so the critics don't. But like I'm reading her questions. The critics don't bother you. It does sound like it bothers you a little bit. Okay, just wondering what you really feel inside. What are you, a fucking therapist? Jesus Christ, Mae Valentine.
That's,
would that's you get
that? That's when Thunder Rosa was getting agitated. Yeah, like, I think it was part. I think it was part of the working
it was,
of.
It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Anyway, it was at this point, Doctor, that we got the commercial for this. Hi, I'm Gary Horn, and this is the NWA podcast. Me and this other guy and Dr. Farty Pants there, we're going to give you. Do you want to talk to Tim Storm? Hey, how about Trevor Murdoch? Oh, my God. It was the most sugary. I'm sure it's a fine podcast, and, you know, it's on the YouTube channel. But that was the most sugary slop I've ever heard in my life. The NWA Saturday special challenges. This is the NWA to a match. We'll even do a handicap match, 3-on-2, at the pay-per-view on June 6th. Dr. G and I will fly to GPB Studios.
Let's do it.
A 3-on-2 handicap match. The winner, the winning team's podcast becomes the official podcast of the National Wrestling Alliance.
Don't let me tape up my thumb because it'll go right in the throat.
Yeah, and don't let me put steel tips in my boots. And then we're going to get track jackets that say God the Podfather in gold and the Doctor in silver. And then we'll be doing the announcing. And we'll be talking about, we're only going to talk about Nick Aldis and Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis and all the guys that those guys ignore. And Camille.
We'll have the NWA Tyrus. Saturday special tag team championship. We'll have our own championship.
Our own belt.
Our own desk if we have to have our own desk.
We'll sit in front of Joe Galli like fucking Jim Ross did. JR is Raw. That's exactly what we're going to do. Shut up, Velvet Sky. Oh, no, cares what you think.
Oh,
hey, Tim Storm,
God,
go teach history class or something.
Another one that's pretty, but wow, I just sometimes I feel like I'm watching the PGA. Wow,
I'm very excited about this. This is
doing a very.
I saw them backstage, and they were really amazing. I saw them backstage.
Oh my gosh, it's like come on.
Cool. As I play with my hair and wink at the camera, and play with my hair and look at the camera, play with my hair.
They gotta upgrade. Listen, I know sometimes we sound like we're shills for the NWA because we love it and we do, but there's sometimes when things need to be critiqued. We're gonna call that out and we're gonna call that right out.
We are gonna do that.
Maybe it'll get better over time. Listen, you weren't a big Joe Galli fan at first, and you've grown to like him. So
I like
so
Joe
it doesn't
Galli a lot
mean
now.
That they can't improve.
No, and we said they'll improve. And again, I think. Getting Jazz in there will be a big help. My point is they don't need it. This is one case where I agree with you that they don't need a three-man team. Now, the one match we had this week, which we'll talk about in a second, was just two. It was Joe Galli and Velvet Sky. And that's fine because it was a women's match. But if
it seems a little bit better when it was in the two-man booth rather than the three-man booth. But
that might have been it. Maybe she's uncomfortable trying to squeeze in between Joe Galli.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
And in any event, our one match this week was a women's match, and it was my girl. She's my new favorite. Well, no, she's my second favorite. My favorite right now will always be Thunder Rosa. But my number two favorite. Oh, yeah. Are you ready for a little genocide?
Yeah, genocide. When I saw that, I think I watched it. Yeah, I watched it before you, and I said, oh, you're going to love this match.
Yep. Genocide and Sky Blue, two of Thunder Rosa's workers from her promotion.
It was a good match.
I liked it.
And it showed, because, Genocide did get beat by Camille. But it I think having a match like this helped, because that really could have killed her character altogether.
Yeah.
Losing that match. Even though they're putting Camille over big time. So now this actually gives her a little credibility. So when she does get a little more seasoning and does face Camille again, it's going to be a different type of match.
You're right. Yeah. And I mean, and it wasn't like a squash or anything. I mean, Genocide like busted her ass in that match and gave Camille a good run. So it wasn't, there was nothing, no disrespect there, but this was a fun match. Again, these two, Genocide, Sky Blue, both from Thunder Rosa's group down in Mexico. And it was stiff. Like, Genocide definitely felt a little more comfortable here than even when she did against Camille. Although, again, Camille's also learning.
Is a little rough around the edges herself. So you had
Or as your boy Steve Austin says, green is grass. And that's okay.
You have two wrestlers that are big and they're trying to get over, and it just may not mesh. The only thing I think I would have done in booking the match with Camille and Genocide was I probably would have made like some kind of, you know, disqualification or count out or something like that, where it wasn't a decisive win, because I think you could have a big match down the road for these two. Based just on their size alone. And I just felt like, okay, that kind of like killed it. So I think now they have to kind of build up Genocide's character. She has to go do her own thing for a little while and then maybe eventually face Camille. Because I think they're definitely pushing Camille to be, you know, definitely the top heel.
Right.
And but she needs some work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she definitely
does. Still a little rough around the edges. So I think I loved it when they had her like as the silent assassin type.
Mm-hmm.
Now that she's talking, it doesn't really do much. But again, what we got to understand is these guys and gals, they're not being WWF or WWE produced. Okay. So they have a lot to learn behind the scenes, and I think they have a good crew behind there now with Jazz running the women's division. I think you'll see some major improvement, not only in the ring, but also on the stick, because that's the one thing that makes the NWA very special when they, especially when they get back to having people in the studio,
right,
is the interviews complementing the matches.
Right. And so in the climax, Genocide reverses out of an Irish whip. Blue holds onto the ropes. Blue kicks Genocide in the face. Blue with the flying cross body block for a one count. Genocide denies the swinging net breaker. She hits what I think is a very impressive tombstone power driver, and she picks up the win. So Genocide with the victory. I like the tombstone power driver as a finisher. Always a favorite of mine. So we get our one match of the week, and Genocide gets the win over Sky Blue. We get a vignette for Austin Idol School, cuts the cool promo and that. We get kind of almost like a 2 or 3 minute vignette about what's been going on Power. This is actually pretty good. Kind of a recap of the past few weeks on Power, stuff involving obviously Aldis and Murdoch.
You have to keep it fresh in everyone's head.
Yep. Tyrus, stuff with Tyrus and the Pope, the tag stuff with Kratos and Aaron Stevens and that kind of thing. So it was a good kind of 2 or 3 minutes to recap what's been going on the last few weeks on Power, because you might be watching Power Surge, you know, for free or whatever, and you're thinking of getting the $5 a month for Power, and you're like, wow, a lot of stuff's going on here. I'm in. So there you go. Then we get a sit down interview with Mae Valentine and the recently suspended Trevor Murdoch. Of course, last week, Dr. G on Power, Trevor Murdoch's team lost the 6-man tag match. So due to the pre-match stip, Murdoch is in the cooler for the next 30 days without pay. So we have a sit-down interview. Mae Valentine's asking stuff. Murdoch's talking about how draining it is, trying to make money for his kids. And once again, like, her questions are just so dopey. Well, you said you don't like to set any expectations. Is that because you're afraid of being disappointed? What the fuck kind of question is that?
I know. What is she trying to be like, Dr. Melfi over here?
Yeah, as exciting as that is, it hurts too, right? This is my favorite one. I'm hearing some sadness in your voice. Are you sad right now? Is she for real? Oh, Billy. Guys, not good.
I have to say, Trevor.
Why didn't you have Joe Galli or Tim Storm do this interview?
Trevor did a good job, though, of kind of sticking with it and doing his thing. And, you know, the it kind of reminds you of like a Dusty Rhodes type of interview from the 80s, you know. And then, you know, he was talking a lot about Harley and, you know, because everybody knows how close he and Harley were. I liked it. I liked the emotion. I like, you know, even though, you know, the question seemed to be silly at times, he still was able to get his point across.
Yep.
And it just had that old NWA feel. This is something you would have seen in the 80s.
Correct. Yep.
You know, Crockett.
Yep, I agree.
And as you said, even a few weeks ago, you feel like they're building towards a Murdoch Aldis match. I don't know if it'll be for this pay-per-view or in the future, but...
Well, we'll find out at the end of the...
Yeah, I think it's probably interview. Building towards this pay-per-view, but...
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm really... I besides some of the stupid questions that Mahe asked, I thought the interview... I thought his emotion was really good, and he really... He made you feel like, okay, he's the working class man that we want, that people want to root for. You know, I know that, you know, in today's world, sometimes we like the heels a little better, but as a human, you're like, you know, yeah, you know, I could relate to what he's saying, you know. So I thought that was good. I thought I don't know what other people feel, but I thought the emotion and the way he played it all off really makes you. If you like baby faces, makes you want to root for him.
I agree. Kudos to Trevor Murdoch because he's really putting this character over and putting over the storyline. They have really sculpted this thing well, Dr. G. Since
yeah,
because
you know I think he'd be a better heel,
mm-hmm.
but he's doing a pretty good job with the whole baby face thing.
Well, he was a great heel when him and Cade were tag team champions in on Raw back in the mid to late 2000s. So. You know, great. He was pretty awesome, but they are really pushing him as a pretty solid baby face. I am totally
digging. Good experience, not yeah. only with the WWE, but also with Harley and
yeah.
and Harley's Federation. And, you know, and he respects the business. Which,
yeah, he does.
You know, and it's infectious, you know, and that's what you need backstage.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. So good interview, though. To Trevor Murdoch's credit, even the dopey questions May's asking, he still puts over the, you know, the gimmick, the storyline. He's putting over his emotions. Worked out very well. To that end, the final interview of the evening, May and Joe Galli sit with our national treasure, the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. Nick, as usual, you know, talking about, you know, the six-man tag and getting Kratos and the tension between Kratos and Aaron Stevens. And then Nick Aldis announces that Tom Latimer and Chris Adonis are the number one contenders for the World's Tag Team Championship. So down the line, maybe at the pay-per-view on June 6th, we will see Aaron Stevens and Kratos defend the tag titles. Maybe this will be like a Steiner Brothers thing in 98 when Scott Steiner turned heel. Maybe he'll turn heel in the middle of the match, something of that nature. But so they Aldis announces that, put, you know, doesn't say much about Trevor Murdoch per se, because obviously he's the one who put him in the suspension. But Nick Aldis makes a big point to say that you know, that he's all-knowing in the NWA. He knows what's going on. He's got the pulse of the company. But then Dr. G, Joe Galli, drops the bombshell. 3 weeks' time on Fight TV, which would be the June 1st, my birthday, episode, and the birthday of PlaceBeNation.com, episode of NWA Power, which, by the way, Dr. G, would be the go-home episode before the When Our Shadows Fall pay-per-view. Where is it? Where or when? I did it again. I always forget that. Is it when? Really, Billy, did you have to have such a confusingly ethereal title for a pay-per-view? God almighty. Couldn't you make it easy like Judgment Day or some shit? Backlash or something? Damn you. When Our Shadows Fall. I keep wanting to say when where. So he says in 3 weeks' time, 3 weeks from this past Tuesday, which would be the, which I believe would be, let me see. So 1 week, 12th, 18th. Oh, sorry. It will not be my birthday. It'll be the week before. So on the May 25th episode of NWA Power, Dr. G, there will be a 14-man over-the-top rope battle royal to determine the new number one contender for Sweet Charlotte. So 3 weeks' time. So 3 weeks from this past Tuesday, which would be the Tuesday, May 25th episode of NWA Power.
Which ends, I believe it ends Murdoch's 30-day suspension.
Correct? I think it does. So it would not be the go-home. The go-home episode would be June 1st. And, of course, When Our Shadows Fall will be on Sunday, June 6th. Nick Aldis was pissed, didn't know about it, got in Joe Galli's face, stormed off, and that was the end of our show. So I like that, Dr. G. We're really getting saucy now. And the one stipulation was that anybody currently holding a title could not be in it, which means no Kratos and Aaron Stevens at the moment. They're the champions at the moment. No Chris Adonis and no Pope, because they're obviously all of our title holders. So 14-man over-the-top rope battle royal on the – this is according to Joe Galli, three weeks from –
This is so dusty.
It is. So 3 weeks from – so technically be 2 weeks from this Tuesday on the May 25th episode of NWA Power, we will have a 14-man battle royal to determine who the number one contender will be for Sweet Charlotte. And it does seem like that the 14th guy – it would be Trevor Murdoch.
And Joe Galli kept egging on all this. You,
oh, yeah.
You know about this? Would,
yeah.
Would you miss a meeting?
Yeah. See, there's Joe Galli, who I think in the beginning was a little uncomfortable, and that's why I wasn't really crazy about him. But he has definitely settled in that role as babyface play-by-play guy, in my opinion. I think he's definitely settled in that role. So I'm very
definitely
happy.
But all this really just plays off the cocky heel, and now he's getting all upset. And
yeah,
I got to go.
Very flairish. Very flairish. Yes. So that was this week's episode of Power Surge. Although, for the most part, JR, I knew I was going to do that. I knew that a week after I had both of you on a show at the same time, I was going to call. I've called him Dr. G, too, sometimes. But I knew I was eventually going to call you JR. Doctor, a big.
Sorry. I like JR.
Well, I had you both on at the same time.
If you mix us up, it's okay. I'm okay.
But I was on, but literally 4 days ago was the first time you two had been on the same show with me in ages. So it was, which was an awesome show, by the way. We'll talk about that.
It was very fun.
The plugs. But so I knew I was going to do that. I've done that to him. I've called him Dr. G once or twice, too. Great episode of Power Surge this week, Doctor. Great storyline advancement. May Valentine's questions need to be a little more pointed. And not, you know, she's not, you're not, you don't work for People Magazine, okay? We need like real questions. But I got to say, Trevor Murdoch put his interview over, putting over his character, that storyline. Thunder Rosa's looking good. Our genocide match was great. I think this was a great bridge episode of Power Surge to get us to the next set of Power Tape.
I agree. You know, it was funny because going into it, I was like, what are they just going to show replays of things? I was like, we'll see what happens. And I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. So did I. Very
not
happy.
Not that I think it's going to be bad, you know, but I really look forward to the regular Power shows. So, but it was pretty good.
I agree.
I definitely recommend if you haven't watched it, go ahead and watch it.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be highlight. If you haven't paid for it, I'm sure there'll be clips on the NWA YouTube channel. They usually do that over the weekend. That'll do it, Doctor. Anything else you want to add before we exit?
No, I'm just gonna. You know, I think we're getting ready and we're gearing towards the next pay per view. I like the fact that, I guess it could be predictable that Murdoch's gonna win the 14-man battle royal. Maybe it's kind of predictable. Who knows?
Yeah, but you know what? Was it predictable that Austin was gonna win the 98 Royal Rumble? Did we care?
No.
You know what I mean?
Sometimes
you want to be entertained regardless if it's predictable.
Right. And I hopefully they'll do that, and I think they will. And I love the fact that, you know, the women's division is going to expand here in the NWA. And I think now they got to work a little bit on the tag team division.
That
would be my opinion on that. But other than that, I thought it was a great show. You know, enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to a Power next week to see how the storylines advance as we go along. And yes, you always have to get a little Austin Idol in there. He's hysterical.
I agree. I know for a fact that because he mentioned it on last week's show, I'm pretty sure this coming Tuesday we're going to get that Jax Dane Slice Boogie match. I don't know. Did he say false count anywhere, or is it just a regular match? I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure because on last week's episode of Power before this week's Power Surge, Slice Boogie challenged him. So I think this coming Tuesday on Power, we're going to have Slice Boogie and Jax Dane. I think that's happening this week.
Now my thing is when it comes to the pay per view, I want to see what they do. I think you got to get to a point where you got, not, I want to say you don't want every match to be a gimmick, but you have to have like maybe some kind of gimmick match. It can't be just the same things that you're seeing on Power every week. You have to make it something special.
We need
obviously the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, you know, World's Heavyweight Championship is going to be defended, which we don't usually see on the Power show. So that's something. But you know what I'm saying? Like I don't want everything to be a gimmick. Because otherwise, I think that's too much in the big companies. But you do have to have something that kind of draws you in a little bit.
Right. I agree. I think we need a cage at some point.
That would be awesome.
Come on, guys. Put up a cage. Teach these camera guys how to shoot in between a cage bars. That's what we need. We need some blood. Anyway, that'll do it for this week's episode. Nice, brisk episode of the Saturday special. We had a great week on the PTB Wrestling Network. As Dr. G and I mentioned, he joined my PIC, Mr. Rosero, and I back on Monday, for the Place to Be podcast. Doctor, you and I and, JR did the January 31st, 1992, MSG House Show. It's a lot of fun. I enjoyed
it. Yeah, it was. And we were actually all pretty much on the same page,
it's the first time we've been doing awards. Doctor
and JR came up with like nicknames for us too. I said we have to do a shirt. I can't even remember what it was now, but he had me cracking up.
Yeah, we have. And Roger gave him a nickname last summer. The cowboy Roger Morissette. I think he called him Muscles Marinara when we were playing wiffle ball. So whatever two Guido names he gave us, we'll call him Muscles Marinara. So you know, because Roger's not Italian, so it's okay for me. We could call him Muscles Marinade, but you know.
We definitely have to get a shirt made at T Public of that. Whatever he said. I have to go back and listen again.
What is it? The new FBI? Is that what it should be?
Yeah, there we go. Why not?
Anyway.
Well, you can't beat all these names with vowels, you know?
I know. So
they don't end with O.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. So so check out that episode of Place Be Podcast. Also, your best friend, your favorite Brit, Rory McNamara. With a new episode of Senior Video, him and the Kettle Man, Cal McDougal. They did Undertaker, He Buries Them Alive. Also this week, Tyler Kelly and Jambalaya Jacob Williams, continue their countdown of their NWA WCW matches. Thursday, we dropped a new episode of Highway to the Impact Zone, Logan Cross under the guys, as they're diving into 2005. On Impact. And then yesterday, if you're listening to this on Saturday morning, I hope you're enjoying your coffee. Yesterday, Dr. G, you and Sean Kidd, Callum McDougal, and your special guest, Scott Shiflett, with a new episode of NWA Croc and Roll. Tell everybody what you did. What'd you guys do?
Well, we went back and we watched some before they were in Crockett, I guess is what we're kind of calling it. And we watched some interesting and good matches with some of the guys that we've been following, you know, in 1985. And, you know, it was interesting because there was some gems in there that he found that I didn't even realize were out there. And, you know, I'll let you guys listen to that. It was fun to be able to break down matches, especially now that we're kind of going back before they're in their current feuds, just to see the evolution of their characters or how these feuds all came to be.
Yep, I agree with you on that. So check that out. New episode this week of NWA Crock and Roll as the guys are waiting for Peacock to get the territory stuff up. They're getting there, though. They actually started dropping Nitros this week. So Peacock's getting there. I got to give Peacock their due. They're taking their time, but they're getting stuff up. I'm on a hang up because I'm waiting for them to do more than the last 3 years of SmackDown for one of my Chrono watches. But in any event, check it out. The newest episode of NWA Crock and Roll here on the PTB Wrestling Network. So very busy week. We got a good week ahead. New episode of Pro Wrestling Love will drop Sunday. And next week, a new episode of Place to Be Nation's main event. Nate, Steve, and I will be back. We'll preview next Sunday's WrestleMania Backlash pay-per-view and go back in time to a little TNA classic pay-per-view action. So all the best stuff right here on the PTB Wrestling Network. Of course, go across the hall, PTB Pop Experience, all the great stuff Andy Atherton and the gang are doing over there, and of course the Jenny position and the no-so. And if you're interested in wanting to do a podcast, pop culture related, movies, maybe music, whatever floats her boat, reach out to Jenny. She is on Twitter at the Jenny position, and who knows, might be a new career for you. So reach out to Mrs. Smith and chat and see if you cut the mustard over on the Jenny position. I am on a show in the Jenny position, The Journey Through Infinity. We just dropped our episode on Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and more to come from there. I will also be a future guest on the Pluto TV podcast, too. So anyway, reach out
to her. Shocking. You're going to be on more podcasts? Come on.
I'm a guest. Seriously, Dr. G, you sit here and you like, fuck around. You
They put your elbow bump. I'm the host here now.
You fuck around all day. You fuck around with your River Avenue blues and all this shit. Do you even know how many pods? Why don't you go up to Coventry and ask my PIC how many fucking pods he does? He does probably twice what I do. And you sit here and flap your fucking gums.
Yeah, but you just go on there. You try to mosey on into somebody else's show. You bump him out of the way and go, no, this is my show
really?
Now.
This is the guy. Okay, who wanted to kick me off of the Twitch feed, even though I the silent purveyor. But I kick no one off anything.
You didn't purvey that. I'm sorry.
I don't kick anybody off anything. I don't know who the fuck you think you are, pal. Pally. I don't kick anybody off anything. I am honored and privileged when people invite me on shows. I am very happy, and we're still getting great feedback on my appearance over on the No-So with Jacob Williams on the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast when him and I did SummerSlam 2002. I was very honored. I was honored when I was on the Blockbuster Rewind over on the podcast.
So was it like Vince coming in there now? What, are you going to start taking over the No-So now? You gonna, what was this like Vince, you remember when Vince went down to Memphis? Before he became the true Mr. McMahon?
Listen, pal, I have good-looking windbreakers, okay? My windbreakers are not glow-in-the-dark, okay? Anyway, all right, join us Saturday special. We'll recap this coming Tuesday's episode of Power. We will see the advancement. Obviously, the next couple weeks, we will not have Trevor Murdoch, so it'll be a good time to see some other storylines develop. And hopefully, at some point, Dr. G, we will see our World Women's Champion, Serena Deeb. We know she's a AEW employee, but she does have the NWA title. And I'm assuming she'll be defending the belt at When Our Shadows Fall on June 6th against somebody. I'm assuming Camille, since she's a number one contender. So hopefully we'll see her at some point, too. Have a great weekend, everybody. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms
out there.
To Mama Storm and Mama Benjamin. Remember Shelton Benjamin's mom? Happy. It was a real mom. His mom name, I don't know. Anyway. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. I am Scott. Definitely. He is the doctor. He's not a mom. Neither am I. And you're not. Or maybe you are.
Ciao.
Into the fire!